Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
Welcome to another drawing room on RN Drive. I want to ask you this. What is your favourite piece of architecture in the world? Why do you like it? What is it that you like about it? How do you relate to it? Is it just a building or a bridge or whatever it is? Is it just something you look at? Is it a piece of art? Is that the way you should be looking at it? What about the person who has to clean it? Or the person whose office is actually in that building? Or the person who lives in that block of flats? What's their life like? Is it time for us to start looking at architecture in that way, as involving the people that actually have their lives intertwined with this architecture? Because we tend not to do that. Well, I tell you who does look at architecture that way. Two Paris-based filmmakers, one by the name of Ila Becker and the other Louise Lemoine, who are directors of a new series of films, actually been going on for a little while. And they joined me in the drawing room. They're called Living Architectures, is the series of films. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for receiving us.
What was it that made you decide that we had to look at architecture differently, that we had to try to find the people, the stories within these buildings?
Maybe as a starting point, and let's say that the series reflects our different backgrounds. With Ila, we met, and Ila has a background of an architect, but very soon he started making films, feature films of all kinds of genres, and even documentaries. And I studied more philosophy and literature with also art history. And we really crossed our different path of lives and cultures, and we tried to, and as architecture was a common subject of interest, we tried to make films with all what we had behind. Mm-hmm. And so we also started these film series as a experimental research on how we could think of representing a building. And regarding what exists as what is called an architecture film, we are very much interested by broaden by the idea of taking off any limits of how to portray a building. And so we tried to keep a complete freedom on the way we talked about a building. And globally, this series has been conceived to work on iconic figures of architecture of our 30 years. I mean, the oldest one is maybe 30 years old, but
so modern architecture,
yeah,
really
contemporary and living architects. All they all won the Pritzker Prize, which is maybe the most important prize in architecture. And the idea was really to be confronted to what is an icon in our society, what roles it has, and how influential it can be. So we maybe in our film we wanted to be free as artists, but we also wanted to work in a certain way as sociologist.
Yeah.
So we are working really on these crossing roads.
But it sort of it raises questions about how we judge a piece of architecture, doesn't it? I mean, is a great piece of architecture something that is innovative and looks astonishing, and that everybody who gazes upon it is somehow drawn into it? Is that great architecture? Or is it great architecture if it works for us in some way?
I think that a good architecture, there's a lot of things about architecture. There's a technical thing, aesthetical, but personally what I found interesting in a building, in architecture, is when the architecture creates a life. A life with and a relationship with the people that live inside. Because if you can have a very, very ugly architecture, but it works So yeah, you love it, right. No? Because you can work, you can live inside in an ugly apartment, but it's your apartment and you love it, no?
Yes.
And but you can live in a very, very beautiful, wonderful house, but you don't live very well, no? Mm. You have to go to the hotel to sleep well, maybe in front of your house, no?
There was one example that I thought was really interesting, which was an example of a church, and you were, I assume you were doing the interviewing, but we were hearing from a priest. He started telling these stories about how, well, when they began, there was no letterbox, there was no mailbox here because the architect didn't think to put a mailbox in. That wasn't the focus. And then eventually we had to realize, well, we get mail. We actually need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that a common thing that you've just discovered, that for a lot of great architecture, that there's not actually that much thought that's gone into these tiny little practicalities that actually make a difference to the people who are there, who work there and live there?
Yeah, that's. I would say that maybe the main interest these architects on which we worked had looking at our films was to be confronted to something that they maybe don't have the chance to observe, is how the normal life occurs in their buildings once they left after the building process. And so I think we gave them the opportunity to see how all the people that lives or work in these buildings take appropriation of the space, and also let emerge extremely simple questions. And it's true that in all these series, we also wanted to confront the architectural critic, because the architecture is mainly a field in which sometimes you don't feel free to express yourself, as it is very... it is a very elitist domain.
Right.
And so we also wanted, because we perceive how much the freedom of speech is limited in this field, and so we really wanted to open the discussion to also extremely ordinary questions that relates to everyone, because we considered all these buildings as important figures of our cities, of our landscape, and we wanted to share the emotion of it, and also to with all these people and what it changed in their life, in their cities, in what impact it can have on their life, on their way of behaving in it, etc.
So if we take a great building of the world, could be, let's take the Eiffel Tower. If your job is just to clean the Eiffel Tower, does it matter that it's the Eiffel Tower? Or at some point, is it just a cleaning job like any other cleaning job?
No, definitely. I think... we haven't worked yet on the Eiffel Tower. Maybe
Not contemporary, I suppose. It's
no, one. No, but we had a proposal because someone, a contemporary architect, is working on a restaurant there, and it's quite interesting as an important symbol in a city. And I think what we really experienced through these films is extraordinary recounts and testimonies of these people working in these spaces, because we really believe in how influential a space can be on your behavior, spatial behavior, spatial emotions. And so we collected a lot of personal views that maybe the architect couldn't thought of. So that was really interesting for us, because before starting the film, we couldn't know how it would end, it's not a feature film in the sense that we are not controlling the speech of our...
it's like a documentary. It's,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's the...
Not all the documentaries that allow the free speech. It's very difficult.
I suppose that's true. But there's something cheeky about these films. It's comic. The way you set some of these things to music is... funny. It's as though you are somehow undermining the grandeur of the architecture. There's this fantastic scene in one of the, I'm not sure what building it is, but it's very modern. It's clearly a very impressive building, and it's got this platform that just rises up, and there's this woman, I think, is she a cleaning lady? I think so. Yeah. Just standing on there, but it all happens so slowly with this music going on in the background that it just starts to, the whole scene just starts to look completely ridiculous. Were you trying to do that? Were you in some ways poking fun at the seriousness of architecture?
Yeah, it's very important for us to work on humor and irony, but humor most, because architecture is a very strange, I don't know in Australia, but in Europe it's a very strange field, because I remember when I was studying in Venice, in Paris, my teacher says, when the teacher in architecture speaks, it's something to create a relationship between the people that has a knowledge about architecture, and they forgot that architecture is for everyone, no?
The function,
so, yeah. Yeah, there's a function, not only the function. When you spoke about the tour, Eiffel tour, there's no function with the Eiffel tour.
Right.
It's just an icon, no? Mm. But we need this from a Tour Eiffel. But when you design some other buildings, there's a function. So, if you live inside, you're not able to speak about, no? Because we decided everything for you.
That's
so
right.
You don't worry, you know nothing about architecture. We have the knowledge, so we understand everything. So we want, and because of that, this film is very, very serious, no? Because we need to be very serious. I say that because I'm an architect, so
yeah,
I can say
you can
it.
Say that, yeah, yeah.
So, architects, so I was very serious before. You understand?
So do architects take themselves too seriously?
Yes, that's very serious, because they are thinking, maybe in some very serious. So we needed to bring some humor inside, and we found that everyone need to be calm, no, in this film. So humor is maybe the best way to speak about something very, very serious.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a very important tool. You're in the drawing room. It's just gone 8:04, so just a few minutes left. Ila Becker is one of my guests, along with Louise Lemoine. They're both directors of a series of films called Living Architectures, which I think we've just established poke a little bit of fun at architecture, but look at the implications of architecture for our lives, the people who actually live and work in these buildings. You're in Australia just for a short period of time, which is a very difficult thing to do when you're coming all the way from Europe. I'm not sure if you have any idea what time it is at the moment, but has anything struck you from Australia as far as architecture is concerned? Are there any buildings or anything that you've looked at or that you haven't yet been able to see but you know of, the Opera House, for example, or whatever, where you've thought, I'd love to know what goes on in there?
Yeah, we had the chance today to make a tour of Melbourne and a bit in the suburbs and beautiful areas. And we like very much the freedom you can feel in a city like this that has not the way of the past we experience in Europe, because in the old Europe you have the great heritage of the past centuries, but it is also a big weight on your head if you want to experience and be a creative person in terms of constraint and in terms of limits and rules. And so we perceived a certain fantasy in this city.
A freedom.
It's a really interesting, I'd never thought of it in those terms.
And for European people, it's quite interesting to perceive this, that you can be free of experiencing things that, with not so many limits.
I will say to all my depressed architect friends in Europe to take a tour to Australia to free themselves a little bit. Because, yes, I think I perceive a lot of freedom here. Mind freedom, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Mentally
but,
freedom.
But what is it that makes you think that? Is it just the fact that there is that the architecture is new, or is it that it's not uniform? Can you put your finger on what it is that says freedom to you?
In Europe, you are, each time you take your pen and you make just a line, you have to think about why you draw this line.
Right.
You have an heritage of cultural heritage so heavy, no?
So here you can just draw the line and...
No, you're scared, no? You don't write your line. You're scared. No, I can't do it.
Does it apply to things like filmmaking as well?
Yes, filmmaking too. For everything, yeah.
It's a really interesting insight into what it must be like. So, I mean, with architecture, it makes sense because the buildings are there, they're right in front of you. But you're saying with everything. So it infuses culture generally, and so it becomes very difficult to innovate within that context. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think so. That's how our feeling these days. And I think also it's also the global perception of how you are feeling in a certain serenity. There is also serenity because you can feel free in terms of personal space. You have enough space by inhabitants, certainly. Yeah. We don't have. We're
right.
Suffering terribly of this lack of space for everyone, but it's a mind space, a psychological space,
and comes
also
along with that,
a spatial space.
It's really, really interesting. Look, thank you very much for joining us and for your insights. I was not expecting that, so thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
It's Rebecca and Louise Lemoine. They are directors of those films. If you want to see them, unfortunately, you've missed out, but they will be, well, there are some things at RMIT Design Hub here in Melbourne, which will feature some excerpts. You can go along tomorrow from 6 to 8. I'll be back tomorrow at the same time.